Okay, so I'm going to call a meeting to order at 6:01. Patty Hess. Is that correct? 6 o'clock.
Okay.
On Patty's computer, but on that wall over there, it's 6:02. So welcome, everybody. I'm so glad you made it through the cold. I want to introduce our new person, Holly Clammers, who said yes to be with us. Do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself, Holly? What your work experience is?
Okay. I'm Holly Lammers. I'm a Wright County resident. I live in Monticello. I actually know Missy Fee. Our kids grew up together, so that's how I got introduced into joining this board. And I have worked the last 16 years in Anoka County Attorney's Office. I was the victim witness manager of that division. I managed a team of 11 and also have our first facility dog within Anoka County. And I also manage our state and federal grants within our office. So I just retired as of November. I'm a full-time grandma, and I'm watching my grandchild part-time and looking for some new challenges. So I happened to come here, and I was looking for other part-time challenges as well, but that's where I'm at.
Okay. Well, sounds great. We'll just go around the room and introduce ourselves and maybe how long you've been on the board. And why don't you go ahead, J.C.? Tell us a little bit.
I'm J.C. Wallace. I'm also a citizen member from Wright County. I live in Cokato. I've been on the board about 5 years.
And we're sure you know Missy next year. Yeah. It goes by Melissa here. So most of the time.
7 years, board, Wright County.
And loves it so much she wanted you to come on
board.
So thank Melissa for that. So, Tim?
Tim Denny, I'm a Todd County Commissioner in a couple years. Yeah. Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Two? Three?
Yeah. Three.
Starting the third?
Yeah. It's just a gray area. Yeah, it's good. Yeah.
Ed Pop, I'm Benton County Commissioner, and I think it's 7 years.
Something like that? Yeah.
And I'm Jane Dietz. I'm the chair, and I am a citizen rep from Sherburne County, and I reside in Elk River.
Karen Punsack, we've met.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Tina Dietrich, Wright County Commissioner. 2 years, and this is the third. So.
Perfect. Oh, there we go.
Teresa Dahl, Wright County Citizen Rep, 1 year, and I live in Buffalo.
Okay.
Lydia Anjum, I'm a Stearns County member. This is my 7th year with Melissa, so we are both at the same time. And welcome.
Thank you. And we have some staff. Kara?
I'm a patron services supervisor. I'm Jeanette Burkhart, and I am also a patron services supervisor. I have Wright County and Sherburne County.
And Brianna is running some errands for us. Here she is. Introduce yourself, Brianna, to our new person.
This is Holly.
Holly. She gets paid by the mile here. So, Brianna, what do you do here?
Oh, I am the communications and development coordinator, so I help with all the marketing and fundraising.
Awesome. Well, welcome.
Thank you.
Again.
Thank you.
And if you have any questions, make sure you speak up, because everybody is pretty used to being there, the new kid on the block once upon a time,
okay.
Too. So we'll start with the number two, strategic plans. Because this is a work session, we don't have an agenda that we're going to need approved or anything.
Right.
So Karen, I think, is going to start with the strategic plan report.
Yep. So February is kind of our year-end report out on strategic plan and other things. We are in our 5th year of a 5-year plan, so some of you are on our strategic planning committee for the next plan, which will run through 2030. So thanks to Tina and Jane and Zuria and Laura, who is serving in that role. The last strategic plan we passed in 2021, we had a lot of assumptions about what life was going to be like post-pandemic. Some of them actually panned out. The first page, you can see total borrowers by library. We're still in recovery mode. We're still seeing increase in most locations year over year. And looking back, it has been a slow climb, but we are going forward. And, you know, St. Michael is still the place that really stands out. When you look at the number of total borrowers that were added last year in comparison to St. Cloud and the size of the communities, you can see proportionally the growth is just really happening down in that part of the region right now. borrower numbers matter because they're part of our funding formula, and so it's one of those metrics that's a little more stable. It only changes once every 3 years as people expire out, and so it's a slow climb back from the pandemic, but it is increasing. On the next page, you can see what that looks like on a new borrower level year by year. So 2020, we added 8,500 borrowers, even though we were closed for a good chunk of the year. So that's a success story in and of itself, but we have now doubled the amount of new borrowers compared to that year. So we're slowing the pace a little bit. As you can see, it was a little bit faster from 1 year to the next between 22 and 23, but it continues to climb, and our next focus will be something we were talking about back in 2018 and 2019, and that was borrower retention. People come in, how do we get them to keep their card from expiring? So we're really excited about those numbers. On page 7, you can see December circulation statistics, which also includes a column in terms of year-over-year circulation. At first, it looks like there's a lot of libraries that are down, and we'll come to that, but the number that really stands out on this page is the one on the bottom. Overdrive is still a 20% increase over last year. It looked the same a year ago. There's a lot of demand for that collection, and we've talked a lot about what is the right investment for Great River in content that we don't own and only serves a portion of our public, even though it's the most demand content. On the next page, Jamie did a really nice deep dive on why the numbers on the page earlier are a little deceiving, because year-over-year statistics include renewals. It's not actual comparison, because we changed the renewal policy on DVDs a year ago. And you used to be able to take home a DVD and only check it out for a week and then have to renew it and then renew it again. And with those renewals going away, because we are allowing people to check out for 3 weeks instead, most of the decline in circulation is a direct result of that policy change. So we improved patron service by letting people keep the DVD, but total circulation actually went down because those renewal numbers went down. If you look at the breakout by collection type, you can see we actually had increases in most categories last year, and that's physical materials. So that's good news. It means people are actually checking out real books with paper, and that's where we continue to invest the most significant part of our collection dollars. So I don't want to keep our DEI team waiting, because they know they're really anxious about talking to you about the cool stuff that's happening. But I do want to point out on the next two pages the strategic plan objectives and plan progress. So when we set up this current strategic plan, there's four priorities: literacy, access, library awareness, and operational excellence. We had 6 goals under those 4 priorities and 22 objectives, so we were very ambitious. One of my thoughts this time through is maybe we need to focus a little more, but you can see we attempted to try to create some baseline metrics to measure progress. And those things that did have metrics are included on pages 9 and 10. So you can kind of see where we were a year ago and where we are now with most categories. Like digital library, we've talked about a lot. Some of this was in November's packet as well. You know, the assumptions we had around late fees and library access weren't necessarily good assumptions, because we changed a lot of other things that touched circulation. So it's hard to measure a change that significant when we continue to dabble with how circulation gets counted. And then reaching more people through our library awareness efforts, these are some of the metrics that particularly Brianne's department is responsible for. Culture of philanthropy is on the next page. Our board giving rate we'll be talking about later in the meeting, but we've been working hard at increasing board and staff participation so that when we're talking about supporting the library to patrons and donors, we can continue to do that from a place of integrity. And then partnerships, one of our metrics that we started with, what you can't see is the 5-year progression, is the number of institutional accounts when we started this plan was around 72, and we're up to 119. So getting to places like nursing homes, assisted living facilities, and getting them a card so that they can bring materials to their people has been a big effort. And then on the next page are the things that we couldn't really measure. So there is some narratives around things like ebook and physical collection access, but there's also some descriptions of our efforts around library displays, programs for patrons with special needs. Some of these are diversity, equity, and inclusion objectives that were baked into this plan. And our DEI team is kind of a culmination of those efforts, and they'll be presenting specifically on those objectives and as the next agenda item. But what you should know is, you know, we did a lot of the things we said we were going to do. We made some assumptions like virtual programming was going to be where it was at forever, and that was a false assumption. But we did a really good job of staying focused with the path that we set out on 5 years ago. I'm feeling very accomplished when I look back at all the things that we said we were going to try to do, and we actually did. So thanks for being part of that. Any questions about just the overall strategic plan progress at this point?
Madam Chair, I just had one quick question. So looking back, I think it was page number 7, if I was looking at. I apologize if I'm not quoting.
Is it the December circulation statistics?
No, it's the overall year statistics. I'm sorry.
Yep, that's on that page.
Okay.
Too.
Yep. So we have kind of been stagnant here for the past couple of years in terms of the amount of new borrowers that we've had.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any specific plans that we are including to kind of improve that? Because I think it kind of is not a good place to be if you're stagnant for the past couple of years.
Yeah, it in your biggest location,
mm-hmm.
right? We've been talking a lot about that. And as part of the next strategic plan, we actually have two groups of coordinators who are working on Tier 1 and Tier 2 libraries and Tier 3 and St. Cloud Public Library to think about how can we better serve our public in the next 5 years. One of the things that happened here in St. Cloud is we had a ton of staff turnover and some really key roles in the last couple of years, and that has held the library back. I'm really confident in the new leadership that's come, particularly to our circulation and distribution departments. There's a lot of enthusiasm, ideas. They're finally fully staffed at the desk, and I think that will be key to helping this library really reconnect with the public. What we're seeing, too, is a huge increase in services that don't necessarily require a library card. Like Print2Go is a growth service. You don't have to have a card if you're not using a computer. The meeting rooms and study rooms are full almost every night. So that is activity that is finally returning post-pandemic. So getting the library back into the community is going to be an effort in the next couple of years for sure.
Okay, any other questions for Karen? Hearing none, we'll bring on our DEI team to talk.
I'm really excited about this team. They will introduce themselves, but this is, you know, for those of you who've been with us for a while, you remember August of 2020, where we reaffirmed our commitment to our core value statement, we are inclusive and embrace diversity. And then we passed the strategic plan with some specific initiatives. One of those initiatives was forming this team, and they came together last fall and said, we're going to be it. They're also the team that has made me feel the oldest. But their work speaks for themselves, so I will let them introduce themselves.
Right. You've got the power, Miss Katie. Maybe introduce yourself first. How about that? Or are you going to? No, you got a plan.
I have a plan right now.
Got it.
Testing. Oh, good, it's working. Hello, everyone. My name is Katie Whitney. My pronouns are she, her. I worked here at St. Cloud as a technical services clerk, and I am the DEI team facilitator. Welcome to our presentation. We're going to start this off by having the rest of the team introduce themselves.
I am August. My pronouns are they, them. I am a library assistant at the Foley Branch.
Hi, I'm Noelle. My pronouns are she, her. I'm technically a library assistant for the North, but you'll find me all over.
My name is Keegan Adjicum. Pronouns he, him. I work at the Elk River Branch as a library assistant.
Jessica Gomez, she, her pronouns. I am a library assistant at Cold Spring Richmond.
Nicole Wojcik, she, her pronouns. I am the associate director of HR, so you've all seen me before.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jason Kirchhoff, he, him. I'm the library services coordinator at the Cold Spring and Richmond libraries.
Testing. There we go. We as a team want to show you how much Great River has done since 2020 in the last strategic plan in terms of DEI.
So in 2024, two libraries underwent remodels along with several branches getting recarpeted. As you can see in the pictures, Howard Lake and Eagle Bend were basically our two new libraries, and then a couple others had the recarpeting. This was no small feat and truly was a community effort. As someone who has traveled around to all but one of the branches, I can attest to the outpouring of support by community members, friends, patrons, and employees of the library. Howard Lake, a small community of roughly 2,500 people, recently received a new state-of-the-art library of around 7,000 square feet. It was not a small thing at all, but we actually had an overwhelming amount of volunteers that came and helped. The Howard Lake Friends of the Library worked on boxing up the collection, and the local football team even moved and transported the boxes from the old location to the new, a very physically demanding job that the rest of us probably didn't want to do. So it now hosts an impressive study room, three study rooms, a dedicated story time room, a impressive community room, and a reading garden, something that I haven't really seen at any other libraries. Which is a big change from the crumbling brick and smushed reading spaces of the 1979 library. And Eagle Bend also received an expansion. This was smaller, and I wasn't directly a part of this, but as someone who has been to the new space, patrons do comment about how nice it is and the new materials they received. As we continue to make efforts like these, so that way the library is a place for all, we thank you for your support and these continued endeavors.
Part of Great River's DEI initiative is to provide services to those with special needs in our communities. Two such examples are calming rooms and sensory kits that you can find at our Elk River branches and our St. Cloud branch. The calming rooms are spaces designated to take children who are experiencing sensory overload or any emotional turmoil and just need to have a quiet space to get away from whatever's triggering them or is frustrating them, and for the parents to help them calm down and recenter themselves. In the calming rooms, you can find our sensory kits, which come with things like breathing boards to help them focus their breathing, various sensory items, earmuffs to help block out noise, and things such as the stuffed animals, blankets, pillows, just things to make it to a more comfortable environment for them. Any child can also use these if for any reason, if they need to calm down or just need a second to get away from everything. Catering specific materials and programs to those with special needs in our community not only adds value to Great River as a resource, but it also creates a greater sense of belonging within our patrons. It turns our libraries from something that they just check out materials to a place where they feel like their needs are met and accounted for, and where they feel safe and welcome.
So one of the other things we've done in the last few years to increase access for our patrons, we previously, Wi-Fi was mainly accessed within the library. We were able to expand our Wi-Fi access so that patrons can access the library Wi-Fi from the parking lots of many of our buildings. We also added these Wi-Fi to go mobile hotspots that patrons can check out. We have our lucky day checkouts that are first come, first serve, and we also have 3-week checkouts that patrons can reserve ahead of time and pick up, and these have been really wonderful for our more rural communities and also underprivileged communities so that they can have access to internet wherever they need that. We've also made some changes and updates to our website and our card catalog, including being able to change what language our card catalog is in. So we have several different languages patrons can choose from: English, Spanish, Somali, French, and German. Some of the other changes we've made to the website is adding a drop-down locations menu and quick links and a return to top button. All of these just to make the website easier to navigate. And we also, within the last few years, implemented a new events calendar and a room reserve system that has helped patrons be able to find events that they're interested in and also to reserve the rooms in the libraries where we have study rooms. And we have also been working on translating signage that different branches can use depending on their community needs. So this signage is up to the discretion of the staff at each branch to decide what they need for their community, but we have translated documents with instructions for our printing service, as well as card applications and information for our summer reading programs.
All right, I'm going to talk a little bit about displays. So the picture on the far left there is a display created at the Cold Spring Library, where I work. It's just highlighting multicultural items, multi-language items. The picture in the middle there is our multi-language cart in Cold Spring. Both those were created by our wonderful assistant, Jessica. Yay, Jessica. You know, the idea behind these displays and others around the region are just to make sure that when people walk into our libraries and see our displays, that they see the diversity in our communities is reflected in those displays. We also want to make sure that patrons can explore, different cultures, different customs, ideas, traditions, that may be different from their own. In addition to just kind of displays, we've also sought to just widen the amount of items that we have. So our collection development team have done such a fantastic job of adding new, exciting, materials that you might not associate with the library or maybe even things you never heard before. So on the far right there, we have our Play to Learn kits. They were started, I believe, in Painesville. I think they are at like 4 or 5 of our libraries now. They're toy kits. So they're, why not come to the library and check out some toys? The idea behind these kits is that they promote learning through play, but also through, helping children develop social, emotional, and academic skills. And they're just one of the many different types of items that we've added to our library. We've had, like, try-it-yourself kits. We recently, in Cold Spring, we just got some Vox and Playaway books, which are kind of different audiobook versions, more accessible to kids. Our collection development team have done such a fantastic job of adding new and different items into our collection. I get to do 2 slides in a row. Another priority for us has been library awareness, trying to get the word out about the services we offer to as wide of an audience as humanly possible. On the left there, we have some of the billboards that are created by our awesome communications and development team. Just wonderful graphics there. This particular billboard on the left was for our summer reading challenge. We also, I know when we did Wouldn't Finds Free, we created some billboards, I think like 10 of them as well. Just the idea there is to just get the word out to as broad as audience of an audience as possible. I know in Cold Spring the billboards weren't even particularly close to us, but we still had patrons coming. Hey, I saw your billboard. Cool. We've also sought to use social media to try to promote all the many many different things that we offer at Great River Regional Library. So the right there, that's just, we had a couple patrons come to us and ask about, hey, is there any sort of resource for finding, diverse picture books? And we said, well, if not, we'll create one. So we created a new best and fun list that highlighted diverse picture books. We did a post about it on our Facebook page. Many of our libraries around the region have Facebook pages. We also have like a broad Great River Facebook page, and Great River also has an Instagram page as well. We promote all sorts of different services on our Facebook page. You know, we've done in the past few months, we've done one on Native American History Month. We also did one about Hispanic Heritage Month. We also promote our events on Facebook. So we just recently had the Testify exhibit that was created by the Allen Page Foundation. And so we'll promote our events on there. And I've had patrons come and say they're grateful that we do that because it can be the only way that people can find out about our library services. So yeah, those are just a couple of ways that we've sought to sort of reach as broad an audience as possible.
Another part of library awareness is increasing information about DEI with the board. We've done that one. That's why we're here today presenting to you as a team. And last year, Marla Scherber, who is the LSC from Monticello, came and did a presentation. And the gist of that presentation was that DEI isn't something that they are actively focusing on because it's just a part of their everyday life. They're just continuously looking for ways to include people and getting out in the community and highlighting different cultures and being out in the community. The next priority is operational excellence, helping us increase, improve our recruitment process. Oh, I lost my notes. Sorry. Here. In 2022, the library received an LSTA grant, and we worked with Filson Talent Partners to work on our job descriptions, which, as you know, we just finally finished getting all the job descriptions reviewed last year. But some of the recommendations that they had were to reorganize and clarify preliminary information, reforming job summaries to highlight the outcomes of the job, including a commitment to diversity and inclusion. And basically all these things are just, again, to get us to see a broader audience of potential applicants to let them really know what the job is about.
I'm back. So just wanted to highlight a couple ways in which we provide services to the marginalized, the economically vulnerable, the underserved members of our community. On the left there, we have a picture from Everymill. Everymill is an organization that we partnered with at Great River. I think 29 of our libraries partnered with them. And they provided meal bags to anyone in need. Each bag there contains about 4 to 5 pounds of food. Anyone could come to our libraries and grab whatever they needed, no questions asked. One of the great things about the bags that they provided is the bags themselves were diverse. So there were, you know, bags that had East African food, bags that had Latino food, bags that had Southeast Asian food, bags that were just kind of ready to eat right away. So people who maybe didn't have time to do a lot of food preparation could just take stuff and eat it right then and there. I know in our communities in Cold Spring, Richmond, they became like a lifeline for people, especially in the wake of COVID. A lot of people were really vulnerable, so they were just a wonderful service that we were able to provide. On the right there is the Little Lifeline at the St. Cloud Library. The Little Lifeline it's a partnership between St. Cloud Library and Stearns County Human Resources or Human Services. It's stocked just through donations, so people just donate. You know, I think they're taking like non-perishable items, baby diapers, baby formula, toiletries, mittens, gloves, stocking caps, scarves, which are, you know, really needed right now. It's a really wonderful little service that is provided here at St. Cloud. And these are just two of the many services that we provide that serve the underserved and the marginalized in our communities.
Now we're back to me. And throughout this, too, we still continue our efforts to address diversity, equity, and inclusion in the library. Back in 2020, at the August board meeting, the board and Great River reaffirmed the following core value. We are inclusive and embrace diversity. The statement is valued daily at Great River. In 2022, the board approved of the DEI initiative addressing the inequity of aid PTO. That one's a little personal to me because that was actually my initiative. I was an aide who was sick and tired of only having 3 days of PTO a year compared to every other pay rank having accrued. And so I brought it up to that iteration of DEI at the time. Jason and I were on it with Karen. And it was approved in 2022 to be made it to accruement to everybody, which actually ended up helping Great River in the long run, because when ESST was implemented, we were way ahead of the ball game with all of our employees making more PTO than what ESST requires. And lastly, we created this wonderful team recently. This is technically our second iteration of DEI, but it is a very wonderful iteration. I think I like this team a little more, a little biased. Did I hit the button? I don't think I hit the button. There's the button. And as a team, we uphold ourselves to the standards listed in our assessment in continuous quality improvement activity by increasing the feeling of welcoming and belonging, strengthening relationship between public and library staff, exposure to new ideas and cultures, increased trust in library, and enhanced connection and civil engagement among community members. Our very first initiative is the diversity, equity, inclusion, and belonging graphic, as you see on the page. This was based off Beyond Blue Consulting's version of the diversity, equity, inclusion, belonging graphic that they have, or DEEB for short. And with this, what it is it takes diversity, equity, and inclusion, kind of turns it into a Venn diagram, and then you get to take the points of diversity and inclusion, diversity and equity, equity and inclusion, and it all lead to the center, which is belonging. And we hope to use this graphic as part of the backbone for the next strategic plan. I know right now DEI is being tossed around as a very negative word. People are seeing the acronym and not the good that diversity, equity, and inclusion is. And that its end goal is belonging. Our goal to make everybody at Great River feel like they belong here by having services for them in all different ways, shapes, and forms. And I do hope you will continue to support us on these efforts and including these wonderful team members who come from all over the library branches to come help support us. Thank you for listening to us. We will now be taking questions.
Questions for the team?
Madam Chair, yes, I just want to make a comment. As somebody who sat with Karen upstairs thinking about this committee way back in 2020, in the fall of that, amazing job, guys. I'm so proud and so happy that this is the result of this. It was a lot of hard work. Kudos to Karen and the whole team for putting it together. But you guys are doing an amazing job. There's still steps to go, but you're heading the right direction. And please don't get discouraged if you hear, as you're hearing, a lot of stuff. I will tell you personally, in the past 7 years, I have seen so many changes at Great River. There were times where we would have board meetings on cultural events where I could not attend because my religious cultural event was happening that day. And kudos to Karen and Patty. She would now send me the calendar and say, does this coordinate with any religious holidays or commitments that you know of? And is there any conflict of interest? I mean, small things like that, people do notice, and long-term people are going to notice and appreciate it more. So thank you all for doing this.
Zoria, any other comments for the team? Hearing none, thank you for coming out tonight and sharing this information with us. It's very valuable. Appreciate it. Thank you. A lot of these items are on the cart here. You couldn't really probably see it because Karen was in the way.
Yeah. I spent all morning ransacking St. Cloud for these.
I think it's important to know that all of these people volunteered to be part of this team, and it was not required. And when I look at this team now, like, it just speaks to the quality of people we're recruiting. It's the future of the library. You know, when Nicole talked about changing the job descriptions and being more intentional about recruitment, the face of the library is now changing to reflect our communities much better. So thank you guys for stepping forward and volunteering.
You had to deal with me bugging you for an entire year from 2023 to 2024.
Jessica and Katie were very committed to bringing this team forward. So. And Jason's been on it the whole time, too. So, yeah.
You don't need to say that. You know.
Yeah.
Yes, please come back next year again. Not before.
Cool. That is cool.
Wow. Duck and goose. That was right up your alley, Patty.
Thanks, Clifford.
Is this now operational, the Epic? I know
Epic
we have
had is up and running. Yeah,
up and running?
Yep.
Is it on that website?
Let's push the button.
I think so.
I have a talk.
Really is Epic on the website?
Yes.
It is?
It's listed as a story.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
So under library news, it's not yet
on the
website.
Okay.
That looks interesting. So I should be
it's
taking
heavy.
Pictures of tea.
Yeah, it's a weighted clip.
Yeah, to calm you, Tina. You need calming when you had to run in here tonight. I'm late.
Yes,
yeah,
it's a
clipper.
That's very heavy.
Yeah, very calming.
Is that a weighted thing?
Yeah.
Weighted.
Yeah. Have the blankets also? The weighted blankets?
Yeah.
Those would be really
I'm
nice.
I'm sure they're around somewhere.
That's good.
Okay.
I
have no doubt our staff have figured it out.
We'll play with
our staff have figured it out.
Okay.
Sure.
So while we pass those around, we're going to keep on going to number four. The Central Minnesota Library Exchange Executive Director update.
So Mark's not here. He was not well, but he would look forward to coming to a future meeting. What I did include, though, was the school library census that you may remember hearing about. So two legislative sessions ago, the Minnesota Multi-Type Library Systems received a $1 million appropriation to support the increase of school media specialists, like helping getting them trained. And some of those dollars were dedicated to doing a study to figure out how many school media specialists are out there, what are the training needs, what is the state of the school library. So this is hot off the press. This just got released. And I know on Thursday, a library legislative day, someone from the multi-type library systems will be giving testimony at the Senate Education Finance Committee about this report. So if you're interested in knowing more about the report, that would be a great source of information. I believe it'll be available online. But you can see what the call to action is. I know there's been a lot of interest around this table about school libraries and school media specialists. So I wanted to make sure that you guys had a copy of the report. I don't know a lot more than what's written here and, you know, the background and how we developed it. So.
So maybe if you see that posted, what
happened. Yeah, I can send that out.
Yeah, send us a link or something. That'd be really nice.
I'll be testifying, too, for a couple of minutes that day. But
cool.
Yeah.
We also have, they're giving out our grants still at Central Minnesota Libraries Exchange, so make sure you apply for them. There's still a lot of money we have to give out before June 31st. The new year starts July 1st. So, Zuria had some people that did receive some funding. And I know Jesse, yep, your people.
My good friend, yes, she was very excited. She said, I asked for a lot of money and I thought maybe that was too much. And she called me, I got it. So
she wanted
excited.
Furniture and
tables. Last time she got some furniture, this time she got ebooks.
Oh, ebooks, okay.
Yeah.
She didn't even ask for that much this time around. I think it was more with the furniture. It was $12,000 or something. But
I don't think that was her. I think that was somebody else. But
yeah, I remember the e-books just went through.
Yeah, that was just this one.
So if you know anybody, small libraries, any kind of libraries, special libraries, send us a grant. It's a very nice website now. Has a nice drop-down box. And Mark is just a wonderful executive director for CMLE. And so more to come. And we're going to put another person on there.
So be thinking about whether you want to serve on the CMLE board, because Jane will be terming off at the end of June and we'll be doing appointments in May.
And you can't go forward? You can't be off that board.
Well, they said after I'm off for, I can come back as a citizen. As a citizen, I can come back. But I'm on the grant board until then. But Lynn has expressed a little bit of interest, possibly. I don't know.
Yeah, I think Carol, too.
Yep. Her twisting arms and that. So, any questions about CMLE? Hearing none, we'll go to number five, 2024 year-end fundraising report. Any good news over there, Brianne?
Yes. So it is on page 23, and this covers our goals and actuals from 2024. And looking at our year-end campaign, although we didn't reach our very ambitious goal, we're right where we were at last year, and extremely excited that we indeed hit 100% for board participation, which has actually never happened. And so being able to say that our board 100% supports the library's mission, both in grants and to staff, that does mean a lot. So thank you very much for your support in the year-end campaign. Also looking at 2024, it says SRP appeal. That is our summer reading now challenge. And the appeal is sponsorship. So we reach out to businesses and organizations that are interested in sponsoring the program. And last year we surpassed that goal. And then also you will notice a ginormous jump in planned gifts. So the high amount that we received was gifts from Bequests. And as we continue to promote planned gifts as an option and remind people that they are able to leave their legacy with their public library, we have continued to see that support as well. And so looking on page 24 are our fundraising goals for 2025. And you will see as well that our 2024 total surpasses our 2025 goal. So we hope to continue that growth, although it has been throughout different rows. Where we have seen that growth, we have continued in the trajectory that we had set out back in 2018. So that is very exciting to see, and the strategies and goal specifics are listed on that page as well.
Thank you. Any questions for Brianne? I have a comment. Comments, Rachel? Karen?
If board members have things first, then.
We're just dying to know what you have to say.
So what you should know, what you might not realize, is the original 2018 fundraising plan was written before Brianne was hired. And when we put that plan together, we had hired a consultant out of Library Strategies saying, what is realistic for Great River in terms of fundraising? And he set that $450,000 goal as like pie in the sky, because that was roughly the amount it would take to go fines free. Like, that was the six-figure number that if we hit that amount, we probably could dial back fines free. Well, it didn't quite work out the way we thought it was going to, but we actually hit $450,000 a year earlier than what was on the trajectory. So significant support from Brianne, who was hired in and just embraced fundraising and helped us bake it into what we do and how we do it, and finding really good ways of talking about fundraising and helping donors find the need, right? Like, the ability to do a planned gift just for a branch was something that we had to figure out, or doing locally grown so that we could add the Play to Learn kits as an idea for a local library. That was a new concept. So, you know, credit to Brianne, also credit to Amy, who's figured out how to manage all of the dollars behind the scenes. And thanks to everybody who served on the fundraising committee over the years, Surya, Jane, I'm trying to think who else is still here, but it's been a long journey, and it's one of the success stories of the last strategic plan for sure.
Thank you. Any other comments for Brianne or questions? JC, go ahead.
I have just a quick question for you, Brianne. I noticed on this for the goals for 2025 for the grants and foundation support, it looks like quite a jump. What are you planning on? What are you trying to accomplish, and how are you going to accomplish that?
Yeah, so the goals were set back in 2018 and extended. And so where we thought at that time our growth area was going to be was grants, not if you look for planned gifts, we have 20,000, or miscellaneous, we have 7,000, but got 91. And so there are opportunities for grants where we can build that. In the last couple years, we've applied for a few grants and unfortunately not been given them. And then in today's grant world, something that we have regularly applied for is the LSTA grant, which is the Library Service and Technology Act, which is a federal grant. And so now it'll be a lot of learning for nonprofits and people who do grants, because moving forward, it might look different. So hopefully there are still a lot of family foundations and other grant opportunities. It just really depends on if we are given that grant. So, yeah. Does that answer your question?
It does, although kind of. But if we don't hit that goal, are you hoping to make it up in other areas, like in the planned gifts, the way it was
Yes. I, along with both the planned gifts, that has been steady as well. And then also with our year-end campaign, one reason that that is also very hit or miss is there have been a couple years that we've gotten a $20,000 or $30,000 gift. And so then that drastically changes the number as a whole, too. Sure. So it really is unpredictable, but but yes, I...
That does answer my question, yeah. So I appreciate it.
Yes, absolutely.
Daria? Yeah.
I do have a follow-up question. You did say that some of the grants are federal and some of them are, I'm assuming, state. Is yeah. Can you give me just a brief idea? Is it 50-50? Is it a different number between federal and state? Or do we have any idea?
Previously, we've applied for the different LSTA grants. We have applied for different grants through the community foundations. Mm-hmm. And through CMLE. Right now, I'm looking into quite a few different family foundation opportunities. There was a recent workshop from Access Philanthropy and Minnesota Council of Nonprofits about what the grants look like, what different foundations are wanting to support with the different federal changes. So hoping that we can still find support.
Is Morgan Family Foundation one that we pursue?
I think before me, yes, but I don't think that that has been our radar recently. But okay, sounds good.
Any other comments or questions for Brianne? So thank you very much. Sounds great. So next on the agenda is Great River 2024 annual report.
Those are on the table.
Should send Stuart an email.
Yeah.
And it's me again. So what you will see on your tables is our annual report. They are currently in production by a printer. And so these we printed for you in-house, but you will be able to expect to see one mailed to you as well. The biggest thing throughout 2024, as our DEI team touched on, is all of the projects that were done for different spaces. And of course, as the front, we have Howard Lake, as that was a very big project. And then you will see our different numbers throughout the year, our financials, and then on the back, you will see our record-breaking summer reading challenge number as well, and our top checkouts.
Good. Any questions about that for Brianne? Looks good.
We'll be going out to our counties in the next couple of months to do some of the report out like we've done in the past based on the annual report. We'll be bringing along local staff to talk about some of those local projects as well.
Okay. Board guiding documents review. Oh, sorry.
Did we have a contest for a new picture for the library card? Was that something we did?
Yeah, we did do that.
What's the news about that? I remember hearing about it, but I never got it.
I think they're available now, right?
It was on Facebook. They showed the card, I think.
Yeah, you can buy one out. They have them, I think, on display.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you can just give your old one back and get a new one?
It's a dollar if you card is not expired, right? Yep.
Ooh, boy.
Yeah, so it costs a dollar. And you get a new card number, which is a little hard.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Saving everything.
I have my old white one. I don't ever want to get it, but I love the collector.
I still have that one.
And I have my pin number with
but I don't
want to
change my number.
It, so I don't forget it. It's such a simple pin number. Okay. Any other questions, comments? Seeing none, we'll go to guiding documents. Any questions on the bylaws, 7.1, page 25 in your packet?
These are set for a cycle of review. At this point, I don't have anything we'd be recommending in terms of changes, but if there's something that stands out to somebody, please let us know, and we would be happy to change them. Bylaws were updated last, I think, when we added the 501c3 status, and is the youth council in here too, I think? And fund development committee are specifically named. So that was the last round of changes in 2023. Code of conduct was new when it was passed. I don't think we've edited it since then, but it's pretty straightforward.
And that is, these are not action items. They're just for conversation, review. And will we vote on these in the regular board meeting, or we're just looking at them? Just
only if you guys want to
bring it back. It's pretty straightforward.
Wouldn't it be only if there's change? I agree.
Yeah,
right.
That's the only time you'd vote on it.
Mm-hmm. Which hearing?
Did we have any stuff for the youth committee that we made?
In the bylaws?
I believe it's named. They are actually in the administrative policies that you looked at last month, but.
Question.
Yeah, you're right. I maybe misspoke because they are not a board appointment. Mm-hmm. It was the fund development committee that's the board appointment, if I'm right.
It would be nice to have something about them, about how much people they are and stuff. I mean, I don't know whether we regulate that or not, but
that's in the admin policies that were in the last packet.
Okay.
There's a whole section on the youth advisory council and its structure that's named in there.
Okay.
This is the bylaws govern the operations of this committee. One of the things that you guys talked about last time that we didn't change was the public open forum, which is on page 28. It's named in terms of the order of business for regular meetings. The last time we talked about it, we said we were going to leave it the same, but if there's a desire to change anything with that, that was something that was discussed last year by the board.
Any comments on that or questions?
I think it's fine.
Leave it as is?
Leave it as is, or I kind of thought when I was chair, I would have preferred that some of the comment or some of the people that signed up, that we could more or less at the discretion of the chair on which ones to call on or which, you know.
Oh. Instead of going,
you know, 1 through 7 or whatever it takes, that if you left it up to the discretion of the chair, we might get a more of a variety of people.
We could be more specific about the public forum because what is printed on the agenda is the guidance we've been using. The only place it's actually named is in this spot right here on the bylaw. So I don't know. We could ask legal if there's advice on it too, there would be reasons to do that. Check with legal.
I like your idea of it, of trying to get a more diverse voice, because
right.
it did tend to be the same.
It was the same people,
but I think that puts the chair, that might put the chair in a really bad position, trying to figure out, well, who am I going to call on? It might open the board up to, partisanship or showing partiality to certain people over. But I do think it would be nice if there was some way to mix it up a little. I agree.
But
I don't know if that's the way, but maybe we...
But if somebody comes really early and signs up, they want to they want to talk. Yeah. They'd be very upset if you said, no, you talk every time.
I don't think we've run out of time in the past. People have taken their turns.
Oh, no, we've had way more people sign up.
Yeah, because you can only fit a total of, what, four or five people total?
It's 10 minutes?
Yeah, because it's 10 minutes total, 2 minutes each.
2 minutes each, five.
Yeah.
Like, it's been a while, though. A
couple months.
We updated.
When there is an issue, we have like 10, 15 people sign up, and then we are in a fix because everybody wants to come and see.
That's where I was. I talked to Karen about that. And you know how they sign up. The ones that were on the same issues all the time were the first ones here to sign up. And at some point in time, I would have liked to have heard from the other people in the audience that signed up that didn't get a chance to speak. On an occasion, one that I had seen afterwards, you know, came in relatively late, very wise person, had a lot of good comments, but never had the chance. And, you know,
is there any option that we can do that people who do not get to speak can submit theirs and that can
written
go
comments.
To the whole
they
board?
They can submit a comment, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing stopping it
from
sending.
That can go to the whole board saying that this is what they wanted to say at open forum, but because of lack of time, it was not.
You know,
maybe we could do like a QR code or something like for email the whole board because that's on our, I don't know how, you know, it's on our website that you can click a button and email the whole board. Maybe something like that.
Well,
it's
just
an idea.
Some people did do it.
Yeah.
Yep.
That one time.
But maybe we could even
write it on the sign-up sheet.
Yeah, on the sign-up sheet to say something like that. It's just an idea, but maybe we want to bat that around a little bit. Like, how could we make it more known to the people?
User-friendly?
Yeah.
Do QR code. It's possible Jay has strong feelings about QR codes. So.
Okay. You have a big board.
It's
there.
Not best practice from a cybersecurity standpoint to scan something and not know what link you're going to.
Oh.
So.
Oh,
agree.
Yeah.
Great idea.
That doesn't mean people aren't using them widely.
If it's on our website, and so you're kind of going to seek it there, then you know that this is a QR code that Great River puts on their website. So maybe that makes it more safe.
It could be a QR code to that page of our website. Yeah. I don't know. It's just an idea. But
the most important part is just having people the opportunity to speak.
Right.
Or communicate, I think, and be heard.
We were always given the opportunity.
Right.
My problem was the same because of our process.
Mm-hmm.
It was the same opportunity to the same people all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe we could even do it. I'm just throwing out ideas, but you could everybody sign up, but then have some sort of like numbers, and then have a random number generator.
A drawing.
Bingo.
You
bring the bingo back.
I love the bingo. Yeah.
Whatever number. I mean, you could do something like that where it's just
out of a hat.
Being I'm not the chair no more, I'd just soon have the chair.
I got a full year almost.
Yeah, we had talked about maybe managing it based on number of times people had spoken, but then it kind of winnowed down.
I mean, that's why the chair gets the big bucks, right?
I haven't seen those yet.
Yeah.
We're going to need those. She's finance.
Well, and I know, like, City of St. Cloud, I think it is, you have to submit it in advance, or is it Benton County? Somebody has it where you have to actually submit it in advance.
Yeah, we have a sign up in the back, but it's at the board's discretion.
Oh.
Like, if somebody comes in and they're really irate, I mean, I've cut somebody off, like, this is not the place, this is not the time we're going to do that.
Hmm.
So the board chair has the discretion, that's kind of where I got it from.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we'll let them come up and speak, but if it ain't quite what it is, it's... You're done.
Didn't we talk about not having an open forum too?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
there's no requirement, but I don't know that it would help.
It's important.
And it seemed like the people that didn't get to speak did do the multiple email to all of us. We did hear from some people.
Do we share that? I can't remember when we've run out of time. Have we expressed to the people that were signed up that we really would welcome and appreciate your comments, so please put them in writing. We're sorry we didn't have time for you to share tonight.
It's a good point.
So that they know we want to know.
And maybe on the sign-up list, we can have that at the bottom saying bold writing, you know, if you're not able to, you know, chosen to speak, or time-wise, one of the five to speak. We haven't had this problem for quite a while. You probably remember the last time, Ed. When we had like 25 people wanted to speak.
But then when it happens, it's like it's in the past four or five years,
and
there's been times where there are like 15 people and they all want to speak and they have very strong opinions and it's hard to.
And I feel like we're not going to be able to tell in this climate when it's going to be really important for people to feel like they need to come speak or when they...
And maybe we can have slips of paper or slips that say if you're not one of the top five to speak, chosen to speak, not chosen to speak, but written in to speak. Here's a how to send it to all the board with the drop down box and the it's on our website, right?
Mm-hmm.
But just more of the directions of how to do it and stuff. Might be an idea.
That would be easy to do.
Yeah. That'd be something we could just do, right?
I was just going to say, is that something that we need to do for the full board, or we can just do it?
Yeah, we could just
do it. It seems like you guys all want it. So
yeah.
consensus.
Yeah.
Even though this isn't an action.
Because I think anytime we can promote
just approve that sign-up sheet and maybe have little slips of paper saying how to access the website.
Where to go. It's better.
Great ideas.
Find a way to do that.
Any other questions about code of conduct and the trustee bylaws? So hearing none, we'll go on to number 8, job descriptions review. That was on page 35 and 37, the fund development policy. Take those separately. Or any questions or comments on those?
The board... job description, I believe the revision was adding the diversity and inclusion statement when we changed it in 23. Never changed the fund development one. This was actually the one written by Stu from Library Strategies back in the day. So,
what year, 18?
2019, it was 19. Approved in January.
Okay. Any comments on those two policies?
You want the diversity and inclusion statement added to this?
That our commitment to diversity and inclusion, if we're putting it on every other fund. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that'd be an easy addition.
Yeah,
on
that one.
Let's do
then
that.
They'd be all the same.
Great idea. Uniformity, yes.
So we can bring that back in March.
Okay.
Any other changes?
Hearing no other changes, comments on that? Okay, then we'll go on to number 9, the evaluation for the Floating Library Assistant Pilot Program.
So Jeanette and Kara are going to share their report here. I'll remind you that this was a pilot project approved by the board last year. So
it's page 39. Kind
of, yeah, the report out on how it's been going. And Noelle, who you recall, has been to just about every library. Noelle is one of our floating assistants. So really just close. A reference point.
Go ahead, ladies.
Nope. Now?
Yes.
Okay. So this position was approved by the Personnel Committee on March 19th, 2024. We jumped on recruiting and hiring pretty fast. Jeanette and I did all the interviews together. It was a pretty intense process. And I believe probably by April we had people hired. May, June we were onboarding. It was a little bit different just because of the needs of the people we are bringing in and their previous experience. But really quickly we were able to have them ready to go out to any library and cover the desk. And that really takes a lot of, gumption, right? Because every library is a little bit different. Heck, where you park, how you get into the building, these are all differences, right? And so both Noelle and Grace have been really willing and able to go and fill a number of spots just around the region and excited to go do it. In December, both of our floating assistants were trained in on collection management tasks, and we've had some really good feedback, both from people here at headquarters and from people out in the branches. This relieves some of the stress, when books are pulled because they are condition. Perhaps they've sat too long and not checked out at one particular branch. That doesn't mean we get rid of them, right? But it means they probably need to go to somewhere where they'll get a little extra use. And it's a really intensive process where people are pulling and looking at individual books. How many copies do we have? When was it published? What was its usage? What's the condition, right? And so now we're able to have Noelle and Grace do that out at the branches. So they work on collection management. Really, it happens all the time, even when they're covering the desk. And but especially on days where we maybe don't have a shift for them to fill. I'm going to give Jeanette a moment to talk about how it's worked in the South, but I will say in the North it's been really handy to have someone that I can ask to drive and go wherever around, you know, Todd and Morrison and Stearns County that we might need someone. You know, it has been like really kind of hit or miss about whether or not people are willing to drive out on a certain day. And it's really nice to be able to look at a schedule and say, I need someone here on this day for this chunk of time. I see that it works with everyone's schedules and just send them out. So it's really cut down. You know, there will always be subs searching for subs, right? Because we're human. We get sick. We take PTO. All those kinds of things, right? But it's really cut down on at least some of that work for both the library assistant, the library coordinators at the branches, and for those of us here at headquarters who are trying to cover those holes.
So one thing that was really nice about having Grace as this floating assistant this last year is we had so many openings in the South, particularly. I could just say, hey, Grace, you're going to go spend a couple of weeks in Delano. You're just going to live there for a while. And you would just put her in there, and you weren't constantly, okay, I need somebody on Friday from 11 to 5, and then on Monday I need somebody from 3 to 7, and the constant looking for subs. You just could place either Noelle or Grace in any of the branches and just not really coast because you were still doing stuff, but know that it was covered and you weren't scrambling at the last minute. It was also has been really nice in the South because the majority of our projects this last year were southern branches with the Howard Lake build and then the recarpeting projects in Buffalo, Monticello, and Annandale. So again, it was nice to be able to say, okay, we need to get into these branches, take care of some collection work, and send Grace out and do that collection work with Jamie's help. It's really a cross-departmental position because we include Jamie in so much of the collection piece of it, and have that collection work done before having to go in and pack up these branches and move the books out of the building and then move them back in. And because these positions are 30 hours a week, it also that collection work also helped them fill those hours, and these projects helped them fill those hours. And we could, again, just say, Grace, you're going to be in Howard Lake for the next week, loading boxes and unloading boxes and shelf reading and whatever the case might have been. So it's really been a beneficial position for Great River, I think, and has taken some stress out of what can be a really intense problem a lot of the times.
Good to hear. Yeah.
So are you going to want a couple more of these floaters eventually? Or, you know, is that when are you going to come back to us in
March?
March.
There were a couple times this last year where I was like, I could really use another person like this.
You know, we should have a trio, right?
Well, and I think
I just have a comment. So, you know, it sounds like they're valuable assets to us. What feedback have you gotten from them in terms of, like you said, it's not an easy job going from place to place to place and adjusting to a different schedule. How has their adjustment been, and are they happy in their roles?
Grace likes it. One comment that she made to me is that she doesn't like to take the same road to work every day. And so never knowing quite where she's going to be or being at different branches is a different way to get to work. I think Noelle has a much more outgoing personality than Grace does. Grace is a little bit more introverted, so she really likes the collection work, but she still does a great job on the desk and is inviting to the patrons. So they do, both of them do really enjoy the position.
It was really funny. While we were writing this up, we asked them for their input. So their input did help go into this document here in front of you all. And they're both such go-getters. They both asked, you know, the thing I really would have liked was collection management training early, right? They wanted more knowledge, more information, faster. And that was really, you know, they're just go-getters, right? And excited to go out
and learn about libraries and learn about our communities. And they're really helpful team members.
That's amazing, but that takes a certain personality, because if you told me I had to go to a different place at work, I would not be your person.
That's really a joking serious, right? Because I think
predictability is, for some people, it has to be predictable.
Mm-hmm. 100%. It takes a certain kind of personality to say, hey, I've never been to Swanville, but I'll sure show up and open up the library. Like that, you know, and there's a place for all of us here. And I think that is definitely a plus to this position.
Yeah, like one of the biggest challenges is, can you turn on the lights? Because the buildings are all different. Oh. There is no uniform light switch. And some of these buildings, it's in an interesting place. But I think one of the real benefits has been able to hire a benefit eligible position at that assistant level and find a value in it, because we do think, like, long range, more benefit eligible positions are going to have to be part of how Great River operates, because we've worked so long with part-time staff. The current workforce is not looking for part-time work the way they used to. And this was proof of concept. Like, we weren't really sure if we were going to be able to hire somebody and if they'd still be here in 6 months. And they are, and they seem to be pretty happy about it too. So,
yeah. Great. Any other comments?
Success at its best.
Yes.
When something works the way you want it to.
Yes. Hopefully they stick around, and we'll wait for that third position to come through.
Yeah, we haven't really talked about it as a leadership team yet, but we all know that this has been working well enough that we have to figure out how to make it more part of how we operate, especially in the South, where I think we're going to continue to see the turnover that we've seen over this past year. It's just, you know, the way of the world now.
I was just going to ask, do you see that maybe this is the way our sub positions are going, to more of a benefit eligible, all the subs being benefit eligible?
Maybe someday. Maybe. Like, we have really good subs. Yeah. Like, some of these subs, absolutely. I don't know. Well, none of you have been long enough, but Janie LaBrie used to do Kara's job. She retired from the library and came back, and she's one of our most working subs. I think she averaged over 20 hours a week last year. Teresa Hollerman's been subbing as long as I've been here. And again, if either of those two retire, we have a big hole immediately. And with the changes that have come with things like ESST, and we're having to give PTO to the subs anyway, now it's begging the question, why do they stay at the beginning of the pay range if they've been with us for 20 years? Why don't they get holidays like everybody else? Like, it's the last set of employees that is treated differently from everyone else. That being said, I don't think we're going to ever give up any of the people who are currently subbing for us, but I could see us working our way out of that model of coverage, just because you're not going to be able to recruit a sub in today's work environment. Not the way we used to.
The mileage and travel reimbursed as part of their job with the, I'm assuming they're traveling a lot.
So yes, Grace does get mileage. Noelle's situation is a little bit different because she lives here in St. Cloud, so her first stop can be the St. Cloud Library, and she can pick up a fleet car. So she's getting travel time, right? But not mileage.
And we are going to be doing a deeper analysis, because not only is this pilot going, we also changed the mileage policy a year ago. So we need to make some decisions about what's the best way to get people where they need to be. Is it paying mileage and travel time? Is it having another fleet vehicle? What's realistic? And
so does Grace get travel time and mileage, or just mileage?
She just gets mileage, unless it's an adjoining shift, in which case she would get the travel time.
Okay.
So when does it become not a pilot program?
Probably today.
Today, okay.
I mean, if they quit, we'd have to decide whether we'd fill it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right now, it's looking like we would.
Okay.
But I don't think they're thinking about leaving either. So, yeah. It's more about how are we going to cover sub shifts, and at what cost. Like, if we've had a couple of days now where
there've been places where we just didn't have enough bodies on a Saturday, and we had to make some hard decisions. Do we single staff in Little Falls? Is it more important to have Swanville covered or Little Falls? And because there just aren't enough people to pick up a last-minute shift the way we used to be staffed. And people aren't as flexible. You know, they take a part-time job because they have something else going on in their life, which means they have something else going on in their life if they're not scheduled. So having positions with the idea that your schedule's different builds a little more flexibility in just how they work, too.
Do they work weekends, too? The Sun? Oh, wow.
Yep, awesome. They, Grace and Noelle both pick up any hours, any time of the day, anywhere.
Okay, now I have to ask, what is their age? Because I can't think of any woman who can pick up at any time, any day, and just go.
Well, Noelle was fresh out of college, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know that we would have hired Noelle had we not had this position. So that's something to think about. If you're wanting to grab the new college grad is not looking for a part-time job with their four-year degree anymore. And that's what we used to do. So having that benefit package is really a key part of it. Grace is just, she worked for us part-time, left for a full-time job somewhere else, and then came back when that full-time job got cut. Mm-hmm. So she was someone that had worked for us and returned. So the training for her was a little faster the second time through. I don't know, was there more you could share about Grace? I don't know her as well. I spend more time with Noelle just because she's here on the DEI team once in a while. Gotten to know her better.
Okay, any other questions? Comments? Okay, well, that pretty much concludes our meeting for tonight.